Hey, podcast community, it's Eric, and I've got something exciting for all you online entrepreneurs out there. If you're looking to take your e-commerce store to the next level, you need to check out Aurora Repricer. With Aura, you can effortlessly reprice your Amazon inventory automatically. Ready to elevate your Amazon business? Head over to stigmasandopenwounds.com/Aura. That's A-U-R-A to get started.
Hey everyone, welcome back to a new Stigmas and Open Wounds. I'm Tracy.
And I'm Eric.
All right, so as promised, this week we're talking about some introverts, aka me. Oh,
and me, right?
I would say so. You know, so I float somewhere between introvert and ambivert. You know, I'm not really sure.
That's a term I've never even heard of. She's got notes, people.
Guess what? We're going to talk about it today. So I float somewhere between that, much, much closer to introvert. Wow, I guess I got the stumbles today. So I am much closer to that. So I'm pretty much a homebody, you know, somebody who stands in the corner or just next to my introverted husband. So that's what I would say. So today we're pretty much going to talk about the secret life of introverts and why that's great. But we're also going to talk about the others so that we also know what everybody is.
Okay, so before we go any further into this conversation, let's knock out some of this verbiage because I don't know anything of what you're talking about right now. So
that's on my docket, man. That's what
I've got questions, but
yes,
I want to know what these terms mean first.
Okay. So we have the introvert on one end. Okay. And that's the person who basically, you and me kind of, we like to stay at home. We like to, if we go to a party, etc., we kind of hang over by the food bowl, hang in the corner.
Hence the reason why I'm so fat.
Yeah, obviously. No, me too. You know, it's like we come home from a party and we're like, shouldn't have eaten all that. But I mean, the other end is we have to talk to people.
Talking up to people.
Right. I mean, I'm sorry, but I go to a party and I can't picture sitting there and talking to everybody. That's terrifying to me. I don't know. But there's other people, aka the extroverts, who go to the party and they get their energy from seeing these people. That's energizing to people. I don't understand that, but they literally get energy from hanging out with people. Mm-hmm. But that takes my energy. So it's weird the way that works, right?
Yeah, totally.
But then somewhere in the middle, you have the ambivert.
Okay.
And I might be kind of saying that. I say that kind of weird, but ambivert. And what this says is an ambivert personality is when somebody has traits that do not fit into the extreme of the introvert extrovert personality spectrum. Instead, ambiverts exist somewhere in the middle, balancing both features.
So now I'm going to guess that ambivert, or however we say
I know. Did I say that really weird?
Does it say that that's the most common one?
I haven't seen where it says that that's the most common one, but I think what it is that is the most, like, they have the most friends, that's kind of the most balanced one. So it's just easier to fit in and everything. So when you go there, it's just, they have all the, I don't want to say all the traits, but it's kind of like you can have both at the same time. Okay, so that's why every so often I can be an ambivert. But like you said at the one point, you're like, well, here's the thing though. You, I think, do that to, as a, how did you put that, as a survival mechanism, which makes sense.
Yeah, it's a mechanism to protect yourself. You're like,
which
you're self-conscious of the fact that you're introverted.
Absolutely.
So you like go over the top.
Right.
Because you typically, if you, I think you're do it significantly when it's a person that mm-hmm. you don't really know, whereas you're a lot better about it if you know right. the people.
And then there's some people that I'm more extroverted around. But then the thing is with introverts, they do have their small group of friends and then they can kind of get extroverted around. And that's who I get extroverted around. Now, don't get that wrong. Ambiverts, they're not just like me where it's a survival mechanism. There are true blue ambiverts where they do just actually get, you know, extroverted when they feel like getting extroverted. I might just do it as a survival mechanism because that's what I have done all my life. Or alternatively, when I get when I'm more hypomanic, that might be when I'm more ambiverted. Like I might kind of get more extroverted when I'm a little bit more hyper and I'm just like, yeah, I'll go out tonight, sure. But then I might make plans and then I might get a little bit more on the depressed side of my spectrum. And then I'm like, I don't want to do those plans that I made. So it's like, be careful on which side of Tracy that you make plans with. Mm-hmm. So that's where, so if you're an ambivert, you generally have both sides at the same time. Okay.
So is there is there introvert, extrovert, and ambivert, or is there
there's
more
one to, more. There's okay. an omnivert. Okay. And this is where you have either extroverted or introverted. You switch off. But here's the caveat.
You're always at the like extreme.
You're always one or the other, but you switch off. But you're never both at the same time like an ambivert. Took me a little bit to figure this out. Like, well, if you're both, like, why can't you be, why isn't that the same thing as ambivert? But you're never at the same time. So here I'm going to read the definition that they give. An omnivert is also an individual whose traits do not fit into either the introvert-extrovert personality spectrum. Instead, omnivorts can wholly tap into either personality, meaning they can fully embody the traits of an introvert or an extrovert as they were solely that personality at a different times. So, but the thing is, you're never slightly an extrovert, slightly an introvert. You're either introvert or extrovert. So basically when I drew a picture of this, it was like either, and I think I saw this on a thing, it's either like I put like an O at one end and then an E and then an A kind of in the middle for ambivert and then an introvert and then like an O at an other end, because it's like you're either an omnivert at the far ends or you're extrovert. Ambivert kind of sits in the middle. Introvert. And then omnivert sits at the end again. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I'm just curious as to how you become an omnivert, because that just seems like a...
I think it's just a trait where you can either somehow... And maybe it's just like with bipolar. You're either... If I'm depressed, I'm way introverted. If I'm manic, yeah, I'll go out. But with me, I'm just more of a homebody. Mm-hmm. Unless I'm with those certain people. But for me, those certain people are my small group of friends. But it's not uncommon for an introvert to have a very small body of friends, which is what I have. So, but I don't go pretty much outside of that small body of friends unless it's a group setting. But then I go with somebody, sit by the food bowl.
So what am I?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. You can take a test, but also you have to think about, do you have that? For the most part, I would say you're somewhere between an introvert and an ambivert. You're much better at being an ambivert.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think I'd probably be right where you're at, but I would just be like mm-hmm. a little further progressed because I can be more extroverted.
Right. You know, easily. You are, it's funny because you say, you're like, man, since I've been with you, I'm getting way more comfortable being an introvert. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I might be.
But they see this, you're twisting that to make it like.
Right. And that's the thing. And that's where I asked you. I'm like, but are you okay with that? I'm not doing anything to make you, to just make you stay home or make you. And you're like, no, I'm okay with it. And I'm like, okay, okay. You know, that's why when you sometimes you say, oh, since I've met you, I've done this. And I'm like, I'm not pulling you in a direction that you don't want to be. And you're like, no, it's okay. So
I'm much more comfortable being an introvert, but I think most of any extrovertedness I've developed is because I felt like throughout my life that I've had to be like I was supposed
right.
to be
it's
more
almost
extrovert.
Like a, right. Almost,
I mean, in a way, you could almost say that.
That it's a survival for you as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It could be. It could very well be.
And that's where it's almost like you become an ambivert when you have to be. And so here's some traits that ambiverts have. It says you have the skills to both contribute to a discussion and intently listen to the conversation. You find the same levels of comfort in a large social gathering as you would if you were alone in your room. So that's one that I don't necessarily have because I don't find comfort in a large gathering for me. So that's how I know I'm not, I can tap into it, but I'm not there. Managing your actions to suit your energy, suit the energy of a specific friend or scenario comes easily to you.
Oh, that doesn't sound like me right there.
Right. So it's sort of like you could tap into it, but not for long. So you might find yourself doing behaviors like starting up a conversation after long pauses to keep the group dynamic flowing smoothly. And
no,
I know
that's
you,
not me either.
But you can if you have to. I know you've done it because I know that you're a leader type. You can be. You prefer to have meaningful conversations with others, but can still engage in small talk.
Not really.
You can, but you hate to.
Yes. Okay,
so,
fair enough.
So it's sort of like you're an ambivert by need, but an introvert by design,
choice.
Kind
yeah,
of. Yeah,
or choice.
So, and then an omnivert, the one that we said you're either one or the other, they often find that your moods or personality can quickly change around particular people. You may find yourself acting more reserved or outgoing than when you are around other groups. You find that you can be social, or you still need, or you still value your alone time. Sometimes you feel the urge to back out of plans that you were once really excited for. That one I can, that's where I say if you make plans with the one side of bipolar, Tracy, just be, that's when I get, and I'm like, oh, maybe not. You feel the need to read a social situation before you engage with others. So those are the ones. And,
That's interesting because a lot of that kind of sounds like me.
Isn't that interesting? But I think that's probably because you are just more on the one side.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably why that is.
But yeah, the biggest thing is even let's just say I'm omnivert or whatever that word is.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I'm on the extroverted side, I'm completely uncomfortable with it. Like, I can do
oh,
it,
right.
but I don't enjoy it. Well, it's not that I don't enjoy it, but
I think it's because you're forcing yourself to be extroverted,
right.
and that's why.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I do a lot of things that are very extroverted type things, but...
Right, and it's interesting because they talk about how, things I've read, they say how if you're extroverted, you go into a large group and you get energy. And I think...
Yeah,
that's
is
terrifying
not
me to me. I look at a large group and just staring at that group draws my energy away. Mm-hmm. So going into it, it just cuts my energy. And I'm just like, okay, so if I've got plans with a group or people, I'm just gonna mark off the next couple days as not available because I know that I'm gonna need that time to recharge. And I know that I'm probably worse than some other people with that. But it's just the fact of like thinking about being able to go into a group and getting energy is just bizarre to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious what that would feel like because that is just draining to me. It's actually quite scary to me going into a group. And I should have looked up numbers because I don't actually know numbers of of introverted and extroverted for that. But I'm just, it's just curious to me, like, what that feels like walking into a group and being like, yes, give me more. Mm-hmm. Because for me, I'm just like, how soon can I leave? Because it's just freaky to me. Really, it's just so much.
I was recently listening to a podcast, little plug for Simon Sinek, A Bit of Optimism. And the topic of that podcast wasn't introverted and extrovertedness, but it was closely aligned. It was social awkwardness.
Oh, yes. Yes, because I know that he's an introvert.
Yeah, so. And he's extremely social awkward. So mm-hmm. he said that.
I love that guy.
He's like, he basically said when he goes to a social event, he tends to like get a drink and stand in the middle of the room all by himself until somebody starts talking to him.
Yeah, that's great, because I know also, I don't remember if we talked about it on this one or our book one. He said also he'll go to he'll bring somebody and they'll go to like the food bowl, and he's like, I'll bring somebody and they can talk to people. I'll go to the food bowl.
Yep, yeah, and just kind of work his way. Hang out. I think he actually mentioned that in this, but what they said about this was socially awkward people have, it's been shown that they're actually better than non-socially awkward people, because when with a socially awkward person, they're always trying to push the attention off of them onto another person, whereas an extroverted person or a non-socially awkward person mm-hmm. wants all the attention on them.
Absolutely.
So if you can overcome the fact of that awkwardness of mm-hmm. a socially awkward person, chances are pretty good that they're going to be a better friend to you mm-hmm. than a non-socially awkward person, because they're better listeners. Yep. They're more caring. They care more about you almost. It's more important for them.
As long as you can get over the
fact than it is for them to be happy.
As long as you can get over the fact that they might be awkward.
Right, but that's the exact point. And it's really interesting to me, because so like I can think, I don't want to say names in this scenario mm-hmm. because these are real people and stuff, and I don't want to like, but I happen to know a guy, and he's extremely, extremely extroverted, and he's actually a business partner with somebody else, mm-hmm. and they're like lifelong best friends,
right?
And they're not, and the other person is probably the most, I've only met him a few times, but he's one of the most awkward people I've ever met in my mm-hmm. life. And so you have polar opposites on this, where one is like completely, completely awkward and the other one is so outgoing and so likable. And it's like, how do these two find each other? You know?
Well, you have, and it's like once they met, you probably had the one who was just like really a good listener and then the other.
I feel like it has to almost be that they were forced into a situation where they had to work together, and they just over time developed a relationship in that.
The other thing is they might have met when they were young, like really young, before they started to kind of really merge apart, like where one was even so awkward.
Yeah, that's true too, because they were lifelong friends. So maybe when they were really young, they were closer together. But then as they got older, one mm-hmm. got way more awkward and the other one just kind of flourished.
Yeah, because sometimes it doesn't really show until you get older, you know.
You know,
so
and
that's what's really interesting.
In that dynamic must not be that uncommon, because if you think about like Betas. So if for anybody listening, there's a TV show on Amazon called Betas. It's actually probably one of my favorite TV shows ever made.
I love it.
But the main character in that show, mm-hmm. I can't think of his name right now, but anyways, he's very much that extroverted, mm-hmm. you know, person. Whereas his best friend from the show, which is like the lead developer, he's the nerdy introverted guy who, I mean, and obviously he has like even tendencies of autism, because he has to always wear headphones and stuff like that while he's working. So just like how those two dynamics come together is just. Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Right. And it's just like once you get over that hump of being different, you realize, oh, we have this and this and this in common. And it's really, really great. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's interesting because when I was doing my research, I realized they had mentioned that the ambiverts are both the better ones at business, and I don't want to say better ones at friendship, but they have more friends because they sit right in the middle of everything. And I'm like, oh, of course.
Obviously. So they can kind of accept
they're kind
introverts
of like the mediators.
And so like probably what an amniavert is actually, I have a friend that was in the Navy that fit this prototype perfectly. Like there was just not anybody that didn't like them.
Right.
And it was he was probably an amniavert. And so if you were extremely extrovert, you know, he just kind of, he could fill whatever role that anybody needed in their life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Whereas, and I was like that for a long time, like in high school, and probably like that for a while in college. But it was like in high school, there people didn't know who, if anybody knew me, they're like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah. I know that girl. And yeah, I don't like her. I don't dislike her. She's cool. She's there, you know, and it was like, they didn't necessarily have anything bad to say about me because I filled the role. You know what I mean? So it was like, yeah, I was being an amnivert kind of then. I didn't step on any.
I don't think you were probably being an amnivert.
Yeah, maybe
there.
Not. But I didn't step on any toes.
I think that probably in your scenario, the people that knew you and liked you would just happen to be more on. They might have been amnivert.
Actually, yeah, it's very true.
Because there's no way you've ever been an amnivert. A strong amnivert. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just there. Too. That is very true.
So
yeah, it is kind of interesting.
So I want to spin this a little bit and talk about. So okay, so we're on the spectrum that somewhere. Let's just pretend there's this big long line, and in the middle is omnivert. On the one side is introvert, extrovert. Where me and you are both are somewhere in between introvert and omnivert, right?
I just wanted to correct
the other
you.
Word.
Yeah. Ambivert.
Amniovert. So we're somewhere in there. So how do you think, when you think about this, when you think about it from that spectrum and think about all the people that are everywhere else, how does that hurt you? What do you like about that?
Right. It's funny because I think I was going to ask you that. Well, you know, I like the fact that I can actually push myself to be an amniovert. I hate these words. I'm just going to tell you that. I hate these words. I like that I can push myself to be an amnivert, but it is kind of hard sometimes to be an introvert because it's like I do go and you go to a big event and then I'm like, I'm going to see you guys in a couple of days because it is exhausting. It is physically, mentally exhausting to me and I can't sometimes push myself any harder. So at least I know that I can make myself a little bit more of an amnivert. However, it is at a little bit of a cost to me. Mm-hmm. I can't just make myself an amnivert. So it's like, for the most part, I like where I'm at. However, it's not that I can just pull it out and make myself that. It is where I just have to say, hey, you know, the next couple of days I'm out. But I'm okay not being an extrovert because a couple of the reasons, like you said, you know what? I can sit back and I can look and say, you know, my fewer friends are quality friends. Not that an extrovert doesn't have quality friends. I don't want to say that to any of you extroverts out there. But I like where I'm at. I like being a homebody. I like sitting at home with you at night, honestly. I love it. I really do like my life. It does sometimes make it harder when I go to group events. It really does because it's like if I don't have somebody with me, it makes it harder. But I've gotten better at it. You just have to learn your strengths and weaknesses, I guess. And I have kind of learned that. I'm glad I'm not an omnivert because I do think that would actually be harder if I'm being honest. So yeah, I think I've learned how to deal with it. So for the most part, I'm actually quite glad where I'm at.
See, and I would go with it. I'm actually very glad where I'm at too, because I guess when I look at it, the biggest thing that probably hurts you from being an introvert is, first of all, social gatherings you hate. And unfortunately... Yeah. Now, I could cut out every social gathering out of my life, but I feel like...
Every so often, you got to tap into one.
Well, yeah. First of all, you got to do it because still good things come from social gatherings.
Absolutely.
You know? And two, It's just a societal norm, and every once in a while you do have to play in the societal norms, just out of respect of other people and stuff like that. But
right.
But I mean, I don't really feel like I'm losing much by not being.
Right. And that's so the thing. If we were losing something more, then it's like, well, maybe.
This is not a knock against any extrovert, because because really there's no difference between there is a significant difference between an introvert and an extrovert, but if you're an extrovert, you're an extrovert because that's what makes you feel comfortable. I'm an introvert because being an introvert makes me feel comfortable.
Right. So like quality of life, there's nothing different.
Right. But when I think about being an extrovert, what I think of is what I envision in my head is just endless, pointless
conversations,
just general small talk, getting to know a whole bunch of people. And maybe, and there's probably an advantage to that, because the more small talk conversations you have, the more you can connect with a person,
right?
And you know, get, you know, maybe build something huge or whatever, right, in a relationship with that person. But
if you have a small talk after small talk after small talk, it's like...
But that, to me, the idea of engaging in that is so exhausting.
Yeah, me too.
And I also kind of feel like, so because of... I don't have a bad network of people that do things similar to me. Mm-hmm. In fact, I actually probably have a pretty good network. Yeah, you have a network. Pretty good. But the point is that if I was more extroverted, I would probably have a better network.
Right.
But as an introvert, I feel like I find solutions to that, to not having that connection with other people. So, like, I mean, in my opinion... And because I'm a podcaster, this is part of the thing I've learned from podcasting is that when you podcast, you have a much more intimate conversation about something than you'll ever have in a one-on-one, even a one-on-one conversation with a person. But definitely, like, if you're in a group setting, I mean, if you're in a group setting with 10 people, the conversation, it's people talking over each other. Not even useful.
Yeah.
Not even useful, because there's just too much going on there. You can't really have a good conversation, at least from my perspective.
No.
So, but because I may not have all of these people that are tight-knit to me and stuff like that, I find it in other ways. I find it through books, and I find it through podcasts.
Right.
And things like that. So I don't feel like being an introvert, I'm losing much out on life. And in a way, I might actually enjoy it more because I have podcasters where I legitimately listen to the podcast, and we'll probably talk about these podcasts in a future episode, but there's one podcast I listen to where it's a couple that's the host, yes, and co-host. And
husband and wife.
And
yes.
At least I don't know if they're married, but they're certainly a couple.
Yeah.
But I mean, when I listen to their podcast, I'm like, they're me and Tracy.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny because when I listen to...
And I think you told me that one time, and I was like, I kind of might have just shook it off. But the last episode I listened to, I was like, wow, yeah, they are us.
Yeah, it's so funny, and I love it.
And there's another podcast that actually two other podcasts, but it has the same host for both podcasts on it. And when I listen to him, he's me.
Isn't that great? You know, and it's like, if you can get that fuel elsewhere, it's okay.
And in light of not trying to offend these people, I will say maybe they're not me or me and you, but
yeah, because maybe they'll listen to it and be like, oh,
yeah,
gross.
But they're what I want to be and what I want us to be. How's that?
So maybe we're not there yet. Yeah, how about that?
But that's and I find that refreshing, and I, in a way, I try to envision, like, if I was extroverted.
Yeah, would we
I
get
feel
there?
Like I would be giving up that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And do I want to give that up? I don't think so.
Right. You know, and when I went to get my massage last week, she was talking about how she had to go camping with her son and his Boy Scout troop. And she's like, well, maybe I'll do that. And I'll just, because I just bring my book and read anyway. And I thought, oh, that sounds delightful.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the kind of thing that us introverts do. And I mean, think about going camping in the woods and just bringing a book. I don't know.
Maybe we should do that this summer, is just go up to High Cliff, get a campsite, and we'll just sit around and read all day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, how many books would I bring?
Let's not do but, High Cliff. Let's go someplace that's got a nice lake in case I want to go swimming.
Actually, well, and we can bring our books to the lake. See? Yeah. See, these are the things that introverts think about, you guys. I'm not saying extroverts don't think about this, but you think about how many books to bring. It's just, these are the things that you think like, well, I'll bring my book and I'll get lost in my book with my book people instead of real people, because because the book people are way less intimidating. That's all.
And I don't know, but if you line up two things side by side, let's go to the beach with a case of beer and six friends, sit around, hang out, drink beer on the beach all day, or go to the beach with a book or a podcast, sit down on the beach and listen to the book or podcast every time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the book or the podcast.
Yeah.
Because that just sounds more appealing to me.
Yeah.
And I assume that a lot of people would say, you're nuts. That is not more appealing. But to me, it is.
Yeah.
And I can't come to a point in my life where I would figure out that I would say I would give that up to experience the other side of it.
Yeah. I mean, and because we're the weirdos who every time we go to Florida now, we've done this for, God, years now. We're like, well, bring the speaker. We'll put on a podcast.
Every time, yeah.
We've done that for years now. And so, yeah, I mean, that's us. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just find that to be more relaxing, and just I would rather feed my mind with that than just kind of have the same small conversation over and over. And again, you don't have to do that if you're an extrovert. That's just what I happen to see. And
and then you have to present yourself with the question, because we are introverted, we have fears of being an extrovert.
Right. So then what are the fears of?
No, not so much what are the fears, but like, I mean, it would be really interesting right now to have an extremely extroverted person sitting next to us to tell us how all of our understanding of what an extrovert is completely wrong.
Well, right. And that's the thing, because I'm sure that we are getting some of this wrong. But I guess my point is, being introverted is absolutely not a bad thing. I'm okay with being cozy at home. And I guess the funny thing is that when you were out not too long ago, like, you now have a point, and this might sound really sad, but sometimes when we're out, we have a point now where it's just like, oh, I guess I'd rather just be at home with my spouse, and I'd like to tell her this or tell him this and spend the night. You know, we kind of have like a hard 9 o'clock rule where we like to be home now.
Yeah, we're like, yeah, our night's done now. We got to go. So...
I mean, this sounds really bad, but that's like our 9 o'clock rule these days, where we're like, oh shit, it's nine, we gotta go home. And I mean, I don't know, and I don't think it's maybe it's a 40-year-old thing, but I mean, we're trying to teach one of our friends' girlfriends about about how to be 40, because she's coming up, and we're like, weighted blankets and 9 o'clock, no bars. But yeah, I mean, I don't think she's introverted, apparently. So,
yeah.
But I think there is something to be said about being introverted and spending time making a cozy place at home, which is another thing we're going to talk about happy places, because we've got some happy places here.
But, you know, I think about it, when you think about the differences between these two things, I don't honestly think that there's a right and wrong.
There, you know, absolutely, what I mean? There's just isn't. It's completely for what fits you.
But the biggest thing I think people have to be careful of is that if you're introverted, you know, embrace the fact that you're introverted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
it is not a bad thing at all.
Right. Where people get tripped up in this stuff is not that they're introverted or extroverted, but the fact that maybe you're introverted and you don't embrace it and you try to be extroverted. Because that's just a recipe for disaster, because it's just going to make you uncomfortable with yourself.
Look, I'm not going to lie. So, I've come home after events and then as soon as I'm in the car, you take a big sigh of relief. Or as soon as you get home, you're like, oh my gosh. Because it's hard.
Yeah, and if you're
so
one of these
people. Why put yourself through that
sometimes?
Yeah,
if you're one of these people that's out there and you're trying to be extroverted because you think that's what you want to be, but by default you're programmed introverted, you're really giving up a lot of happiness to be something that you think you want to be when you would find, at least I would encourage you to at least try the concept of embracing what you are and getting the goodness out of that.
Absolutely.
Because you can, I don't feel like being one or the other takes anything away from your life.
No, you just have to learn how to embrace.
Yeah, you just have to learn how to appreciate what you are.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, you can go and say, well, I'm introverted, but I really want to be extroverted. Yeah, you could probably over time convert yourself to the other, just get comfortable enough with being the other that. But I mean, do you really want to do that? Because it's like, you're what you are for a reason. You know, your body is telling you they're not comfortable in social situations or whatever it may be for a reason.
Right. And, you know, and I,
and rather than fight that, just embrace it and make the best of it.
Right. That is some of the best advice I've heard, you know, and I've started doing stuff where I'm like, you know, I'll show up for a short bit, you know, and you show up for maybe a half hour, hour, depending on how long the thing is or how long you're, you feel comfortable. Cause maybe sometimes you feel like you're going to show up for 15, half hour, whatever. And then you find somebody there that you feel comfortable with and you end up staying there longer. Great. But sometimes you end up and you're like, this is not the place I want to be. And you leave early. Sometimes people are happy that you leave early, not because they don't like you, but because then that's their own.
That's their cue to leave.
And believe me, that's great because people are looking for an out. So don't feel bad. I mean, honestly, people are probably so involved in their stuff that they don't notice that you're leaving. And I'm not saying it again because it's you. It's just because, again, big parties, big events, whatever, they're all wrapped up in themselves. That's just the way stuff goes. So you say, I came, great. And just little things to make you feel better, cool. That way you still went, it's a compromise. And then you get to go home, cool. So these are little things kind of that I've done. And I feel like Eric's done. And then you go home to your super comfortable place, put on your pajamas again. I say again because I wear pajamas a lot because I'm introverted. So, yeah, I mean, just little things to make you comfortable.
Right. And just, you know, embrace who you are.
That's the biggest thing, no matter what it is, whether it's introverted, whether it's, you know, whatever. Doesn't matter, man.
Yeah, and I think that advice extends beyond introvert and extrovert. Yep, but with everything, if there's something you don't like about yourself, stop, reflect on it, and try to find the good in it instead of the bad.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a way more effective way to get you over that not liking that thing about you than trying to change it or trying to adjust it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big proponent of always improving. I'm always trying to become more efficient or whatever in life. But at the same time, you also have to try to get as many wins out of who you are as you can.
Instead of
hating depression is somebody that hates everything about themselves. You know?
Yeah, actually, that is
so
very
the
true.
More things you stronghold yourself to hate about you, the closer you are to becoming the depressed person.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try to find the positive in those things that you might struggle with or hate about yourself. Because there are, for everything, what is it that I recently adopted the yin and the yang philosophy.
There's always an opposite.
If you're really good at something, on the flip side, because you're really good at that thing, you're really bad at something else.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just the way the world works.
Yeah.
So if there's something you hate about yourself, more than likely something that you really like about yourself is a result of you hating that thing about you. So you need to embrace that negative thing because of that negative thing, you have that positive thing.
Yeah.
So
You know, and I just happen to think of a story real quick that I want to tell. So, you know, we're talking about ego, a huge thing, obviously. If you're introverted, grab a friend, grab somebody to go to an event with you. And I know we're talking about events a lot, but just whatever there is, just, you know, if it's just something, grab a friend. But I went, God, I don't know, must have been 2018 to an event in Chicago. It was a really cool food event. It had one of my favorite chefs put it on. It was like an outdoor food event. And I was like, I have to go to this. But Eric couldn't go because his uncle was had a party to go to. And I had no idea who to bring. So I was like, well, shoot, what am I going to do? So I went alone, which was weird for me. So I drove there. I stayed overnight and everything alone. And it wasn't too, well, it was a little bit. So I took the subway, the train, whatever, to where this was. And it was like a couple blocks that I had to walk. And I went there and it was a little bit awkward, but I tried a bunch of food. And then I went where they were like putting on all the shows. And I just sat there. I mean, it wasn't too bad because I just got to sit there alone. And if you're sitting there, it's like going to a movie alone, like whatever. Mm. But then like between them, I'm like, well, shoot, now what do? I have nobody to talk to, you know? And there were a couple times where I'm standing there like diddling my thumbs like, oh, well. But then there was a point where I went to like this dinner on the rooftop where I did just talk to some random people. And that was, you know, there was because I was just standing there alone and people took me in. So every so often, if you do something random like that, I mean, that was a big freaking deal for me. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm not missing out on this.
Yeah. And so I think it's a great example of just, you know, you really stepped out of your element and it was a very positive thing. And that's just proof positive that there's a positive to everything, you know, on both sides of the spectrum. There's not a right side to be on.
You know, and
it's just there's positives on this side, there's positives on that side, there's negatives on that side, and the positives or negatives on that side. So
it's more or less a thing that just because you are introverted, extroverted, whatever, don't let this one thing stop you from doing, you know, I was just like, look, I'm mildly, more than mildly, but I was just like, I don't do stuff alone like this. Like, what am I going to do between? But I did it and it was cool. Whatever. I came back and I told him about all the different chefs I saw. And
I think that this story brings up another point of that not necessarily does being on one side or the other of this have to be a hindrance in your life.
Absolutely.
Because if something is important enough to you,
yes,
there is no reason why you can't do it. Even though if it's a very extroverted thing and you're introverted, you can still do it. But all it's going to do is it's going to put a barrier in there to say, I'm really uncomfortable doing this. So is it important enough for me to put that uncomfortableness aside and go do it anyways?
Right. I don't
do it
often.
It's not going to prevent you from doing anything. It's just going to, you know, make you a little more choosy about the things you choose to do on that side of the spectrum because you're just not comfortable doing that.
Yeah, it's not something I do often. Were this to come up again and I didn't have somebody to take, I would do it again, sure. But it's not something I'm going to do every weekend or anything like that. But yeah,
and
it was worth it.
And like another great example of that, and this was more of a public figure type thing, is like we were talking just about the Simon Sinek podcast.
Yep.
Well, another thing that how he said he goes to public gatherings and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I sit in the middle of the room uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody doesn't know who Simon Sinek is,
he's a big deal.
He's a huge public speaker.
Yeah. So the fact that he's uncomfortable is just kind of funny.
And he even kind of alluded to that in this podcast where he's like, you know, people think that's crazy that I'm uncomfortable going to these social events when I'm a public speaker, but he's like, being a public speaker is easy. He's like, I go up there, I say what I gotta say.
Well, and that's,
and then I get done and I don't have to have conversation. Like, he's like, I talk to people afterwards, but I don't have to ask them questions. They come up and ask me questions, which is really easy.
See, and that's what's funny to me is people think it's funny because I actually do not mind giving speeches at all. Mm-hmm. I'm actually, for the most part, quite good at giving speeches. Ever since high school, loved it. And being an introvert and as shy as I am for the most part, I love it. And I love podcasting as long as I have something prepared. And you're like, that doesn't make sense. And I'm like, and the funny thing is, and I'll say it on here, I'm a horrible conversationalist. I don't like it. I think that's part of the reason why I am introverted too, is because I get nervous to speak to people that I don't know. But when I give speeches, I have stuff prepared. I'm like, I know what's on these cards, or I know what I'm going to say. I'm the pro where I know this. You don't. So guess what? I'm telling you guys. Mm-hmm. So I'm not nervous. But then I get off that stage, whatever, like Simon says, and it's like, well, shit, what's happening now?
Yeah.
And that's why.
And a great example of that is go up to a complete stranger, pick something that you're really into.
Yeah, absolutely.
And go up and try to talk to a complete stranger about it. It's going to come a lot easier to you than something you're not confident about, you're not sure about,
So basically what you're saying is do the spectrum talk, say something that I know everything about.
Exactly, yeah, because like you'll find that if you know a lot about something.
Right, you can talk about everything.
If you ask me to talk about Amazon bookselling, I'm probably the most extroverted person you'll ever find because I'll talk all day.
And then everybody will stare at you and say, yeah. I didn't need to know that much.
Right, but...
But yeah, but absolutely.
For the majority of things that people want to talk about, I'm like, blah, don't want anything to
do with. And you're like, I forgot every single word and every single thing that I knew about it. And then you walk away and you're like, that was the worst conversation that I ever had. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think that's the problem. But you give a speech or something like that and you're like, well, that wasn't so bad. Or a podcast where you can edit it and you know you can edit it.
Well, in truth, when you think about it, when you're doing a speech and you're preparing for the speech, that's like, isn't that like the easiest conversation you'll ever do? Because you prepared for it beforehand,
you researched for it, everything like that. But
we may have just uncovered some huge, huge problem with society. Like, why is speech giving so terrifying? Because it should be really easy.
That's
a conversation that you're prepared for.
I know. Well, that's the thing. Like, I always got up there and everybody's like, their knees are knocking. But I think it's just because everybody's staring at them. But I'm just like, you guys don't know what's on these cards. I do. So shut up and listen to me. I mean, I don't say that, but that's sort of what I'm thinking. I'm like, I'm the pro here. So I'm okay here. So that's just sort of what I think. And it's weird. It's kind of just a thing in your head where I'm just like, so maybe I'm just teaching everybody how to give a speech right now. I'm just like you realize you know what you're talking about and they don't. Mm-hmm. And that's why I can do it. And that's why I'm kind of, maybe I'm like, me and Simon, we're just completely on the same train here. And that's why I really like him because you know what you're doing. You get off there and people start talking to you. You're like, whoa, slow down. Hold on. We're not on the same page anymore. And that's exactly it.
Right. And I can see where his argument comes from. And then on top of that, too, when you're giving like a speech, I guess everybody kind of looks up to you in a way.
Absolutely. Suddenly you're a little bit above them, but you're almost on the same.
The reason I know this is because one of the things that I do, in fact, I just started the newest class last night, is that I teach entrepreneur classes. And it always blows my mind that these people don't know me until I become their teacher.
Absolutely.
But like all of them look at me with so much more respect than I could from a normal person in my day-to-day life. It's like, it's crazy the Isn't power it funny? That has.
In- right, because you're the teacher. You supposedly know anything, know everything.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe not everything, but you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some of your students who are probably older than you. I know,
the majority of them are older than me.
So there you go. And that's what's kind of funny. So, yeah, I just, the whole thing is just a lot of it is perception. And I think that's really what we need to start framing in our head is a perception thing. And I'll bet you the whole introvert thing.
Like the world would be much better if we all just realize that everything pretty much is a perception. The way you see the world is your way of seeing the world.
And if I'm honest, my social anxiety is getting a whole lot better because I don't think about people laughing at me so much anymore. Like, it is a real weird thing. Since we did the social anxiety episode, it's getting a lot better because I'm like, whatever, I don't care if you laugh at me. Mm-hmm. So it's really weird.
Well, but also you've reduced the amount that you go out significantly, probably since that episode too. So
yeah, but it is weird because I'm like, I don't care if you laugh at me, do it. But so it's weird what will trip it now. So in terms of the perception, it is really it's an interesting facet, which could be another episode if you really think about it. Perhaps.
Don't be feeding out episodes, because I believe we have like a list of 13 episodes right now to do or something like that.
Way more than that, babe.
Yeah.
Way more. So if that tells you guys anything, we have quite the season coming up for you.
Yeah. And it's only going to get more, I think. Bigger
and better, maybe?
Yeah, hopefully.
So with that, do you have anything else, Eric, that you'd like to add on to this?
No, man. I just want people to realize just like...
Whoever you are
on this thing, it's just embrace it, man.
Yeah.
Embrace it. Enjoy it. Find the positives.
Yeah.
There's positives and negatives to everything. And just find the positives in who you are.
Yeah. Because there are some. There's plenty.
And the negatives, who cares? Just ignore them.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't completely ignore them, but do the best you can to not worry about them and embrace what's positive about who you are.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I will say that to all the introverts out there, I say being introverted rules.
Heck yeah. All right. So with that, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Looking forward to it. And you can find more of our episodes at stigmasandopenwounds.com. And please feel free to email us at stigmasandopenwounds@gmail.com. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you. We'll be right back.